Shortly after I moved here, 5 years ago, someone, I think it was Corey Mady, shared this saying with me. I was talking about kind of the rhythm of the church year and worship. And she commented, "In Oregon, the weather always wins." I was like, "Oh, that's interesting." I filed that away for future reference. And of course, I said, "Well, not anymore." It's like, not anymore. Well, I will tell you, after 5 years, I have become enough of an Oregonian that I get it now. I get it now. In the middle of winter, after weeks of gray, if there is a rare opportunity to glimpse that glowing golden orb in the sky that we haven't seen, I just have to go outside. And during the summer, on a day like today, it is really hard, even for the pastor, to come to church sometimes, because there is a way that here, there's something about the pattern of the weather that we cannot escape, and often we want to relish. I think it's one of the reasons why I've come to love more and more that poem by Patricia Schutte, which we heard. "We blew about with the winds of summer." And there's a certain wistfulness in that poem, a kind of a sense of the pending end of summer as it slips away, although this is going to be a very, very warm week if you've paid attention to the forecast, that vacations are over or nearly over. But there's also in her poem a sense of eagerness and delight that there is a need to come together in community, even if we've been scattered around and about. There is this rhythm of going out and coming back, scattering and gathering. So I want you to take just a moment and turn to someone near you, hopefully someone that you do not know terribly, terribly well. And I want you to share with them something this summer that gave you joy and delight. Something that happened this summer that gave you joy and delight. I know there was a family that went to Legoland. They're probably going to tell that story to somebody. And that's not the only thing. So take a moment and turn to someone near you and just share something that happened this summer that gave you joy and delight. So if someone who's listening hasn't talked yet, it's a good time to switch. Okay, so we are not done, but we will stop. Okay. Because that saves some of that sharing for later. I wish you could see what I could see from up here. There were all kinds of smiles and laughter, and there were a couple of hugs exchanged. You know, joy, just like love, when we share it with others, it multiplies. You know, Paul encourages us in Romans that we rejoice with those who rejoice, we mourn with those who mourn. And there's a saying that joy shared is doubled, trouble shared is halved. Joy shared is doubled, trouble shared is halved. With one another, our lives are fuller and richer. We need one another. That's why we come back together again and again. The psalm that we hear today, Psalm 126, it was an ancient prayer of praise, maybe even sung during a harvest festival, but it feels to me like a homecoming psalm. It's a song of return, a song of restoration, a song of renewal. It's joyous, it's lovely. It ends with this image of gathering in celebration, coming home with shouts of joy, carrying those sheaves of grain of the harvest. Now, if you have ever raised or helped to tend a garden, you know the joy of harvest. You know the joy of harvest. Now, I have not personally, as an adult, had a garden, but I grew up in rural western Pennsylvania, and our vegetable garden was a quarter of an acre. It was quite a large garden. And it's what we did during the summer. I mean, we did take occasional camping trips and vacations, but tending the garden is what we did, along with the picking and the canning and the freezing of produce that lasted well into the school year in the fall, so that we would have some of that produce and food for the winter. It was hard work, but harvesting was the best part, the most fun part. Waiting for those tassels on the ears of corn to turn dry and brown, knowing that inside there was a treasure of succulent kernels like yellow pearls held tightly within. There's the taste of a fresh tomato, the juice still running warm from the afternoon sun. A carrot pulled straight out of the earth, hardly able to wait to rub the dirt off before you sink your teeth into the snap of its crisp, sweet, orange flesh. Anyone want a salad now? The harvest is the best part, Coming in, bringing home the harvest is the celebration. But the psalmist, and we do well to remember, it's not the only part. There is another part. In the psalm, the joyful image of the harvest is preceded by another image, the image of going out weeping, bearing seed for sowing. And notice, the psalmist indicates that the people are one and the same. Those that gather in joy are those who earlier went out weeping. The harvest was great fun, not so much the planting. Dad would sweat profusely as he toiled with the rototiller across the garden, breaking up the hard-packed earth that seemed hard every spring when he did it. We, Mom and we three kids, would go along digging with spades or trowels what seemed like endless furrows and holes. We'd crawl on our hands and knees and poke carefully, and sometimes not so carefully, seeds in the rows, and we would cradle those tiny starter plants rightly, sometimes not so rightly, in their garden soil, making a reservoir for the water. And then for weeks at a time, there was no irrigation or hose for our garden, we hoisted bucket upon bucket of water from the nearby pond. And the very worst part, the endless weeding. The endless weeding under hot, humid, mid-Atlantic summer weather. Bringing in the harvest, carrying those sheaves is a moment for joy and celebration, but it is often preceded by weeping and tears and more than a few sore muscles. We who may gather here joyfully on a homecoming Sunday, do we not also know a little something of scattering seeds of tears and weeping? Loss of family, loved ones, religious communities, failed relationships, broken promises, hopes and dreams dashed. Do we not know a little of sowing seeds of tears? One of the first books that I read when I was coming out, now 30 years ago, yes, I was a mere child, was the book Embracing the Exile by John Fortunato. Anyone here familiar with that book? It was written in 1982. We're old, Diane. Written by John Fortunato in 1982, a therapist and a gay Christian. I'm pretty sure that he was a gay Christian. And the book, Embracing the Exile, is subtitled The Healing Journey of Gay Christians. And this image that he uses of exile describes what he says that in that time he used gay as the shorthand for gay, lesbian, bi, trans, that we now use more broadly, that we are in some ways exiled from this mythical promise of society, and that exile is painful. It is a place of weeping, but it's also a place of giftedness. It is a place of self-knowledge. It's a place of spiritual clarity. Now, 30 years later, I still treasure the insights and the profound consolation that his book gave me. 30 years later, I wonder if many of us, and not just gay, lesbian, bi, or trans folk, if many of us have grown a little bit too comfortable being in exile. I wonder if we grow too comfortable in exile. One of the most transformative events in ancient Jewish history, one of the most definitive events, was the exile of the Jews to Babylon. When independent ancient Israel fell to the Babylonian Empire about 2,500 years ago, a large portion of the Jewish population was forcibly removed to Babylon, where they remained in exile for 50 years or so, before the Persian Empire, which succeeded the Babylonian Empire, until a new king, Cyrus, permitted the Jews to return to their homeland. Now, much of the Hebrew Bible is shaped by that exile experience. There are writings that anticipate the conquest of their homeland. There are writings that mourn the loss of their home. And there are those that yearn for the return and the writings that describe the return. You will remember those soulful phrases, "By the waters of Babylon, we sat down and wept." Words, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Those are exile words. What the Bible does not record well is that not all, and probably not even most, of the Jews in Babylon did not return to Israel. Most likely remained in Babylon. Some of them remained as a distinctive subgroup of Jews in the Babylonian, in the Persian Empire. Others were fully enculturated into the empire with families, work, and now familiar customs after 50 years. Most of them didn't even know what the homeland looked like. They had embraced their exile. Exile is rarely voluntary. But what one does with it is voluntary. What one does with exile when you have the invitation to come home? Will we sit sowing our tears? Will we decide there is nothing worth crying about any longer? Or will we gather ourselves up and go home? I think all of us know a certain, albeit rare, kind of person. See if you can imagine a person like this in your life. The kind of person who seems comfortable anywhere. You can imagine that this person would be as comfortable eating a bowl of porridge in a shack in a slum as they would be comfortable at a state dinner at the White House. A rare kind of person who is at ease anywhere because they are fully at ease being themselves wherever they are. Now, maybe that person doesn't really exist, or doesn't really exist 100%. But we want them to exist. I want them to exist. I think we want that kind of person to exist because I think we want to be that person in a way. And I also think that's why we say we want people to be their authentic selves here, that the person outside of these walls and doors is the person we want to join us here. Now, we do not do that flawlessly, of course not, but are any of us authentically flawless? We long to be real, really real, around other people, and I believe we long even more to be real in the presence of God. St. Augustine prayed about our scattered, unsettled hearts. Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee. Our hearts are restless in exile, homeless, if you will, until they find home in God. Friends, the exile can be over. Your seeds of tears have been sown. It's time to come home. Please pray with me.